This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health News Channel. We are also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. In a new series of interviews, we are once again joined by Dr. Milan Riobay, a board-certified medical doctor and specialist in traditional Chinese medicine and integrative medicine. She is the founder and director of the Riobay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Stuart, Florida, a progressive medical practice that fuses traditional Chinese medicine with the cutting-edge technology of integrative medicine. On this episode of eHealth Radio, Dr. Riobay will be covering when medicine fails and why our current medical system isn't working. Dr. Riobay, welcome back to eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It's good to be here again.
Yes, and good to have you out, and good morning to you. So for starters, tell us, what does prevention really mean?
All right. Well, in our current medical system here in the United States, prevention refers to strategies such as performing mammograms in women to detect breast cancer early and colonoscopies in men and women after a certain age to diagnose colon cancers early. This helps us to diagnose cancer early enough that our patients don't die of their disease. So this strategy is a prevention of death from disease. So we try and diagnose things earlier and earlier so that we can provide the most effective treatment for that particular person. I call this prevention of death. In a TCM-based integrative medical system, we're on a path to prevention that focuses on identifying the causes of diseases such as cancer before they develop, so that we can successfully prevent the disease itself. So this is different because it's actually prevention of the disease as opposed to prevention of death from the disease. So it's a very important distinction that we don't really explain here in the United States very well. We call both of these things prevention when they're clearly not. And we learn this in medical school. We learn that there are two types of prevention. We have primary prevention and secondary prevention. Primary prevention is not getting the disease at all. Secondary prevention is the disease has already taken hold, and now we're trying to prevent death from that disease. The problem is that when we go into residency training as physicians, we only focus on diagnosing and treating diseases. So we're only focused on secondary prevention, and we begin to absorb that as the only form of prevention that there is because we're not really taught about the primary prevention, which is preventing the disease itself. So we're very focused on diagnosing diseases and treating those diseases. And then we go out into medical practice and we, you know, continue to do the same. So this has kind of led us to leave behind primary prevention strategies because they were not emphasized in our medical training. That's significantly flawed because what we're seeing today is that there are more and more diseases occurring in a younger and younger population of people. Which is actually beginning to shorten our lifespans. We know that our quality of life has been eroded significantly. You know, we get a lot of aging diseases very early in life, in our 50s and 60s. And we know that our end-of-life situation here in the United States is very difficult. People lose their independence. They can't function properly. They end up in nursing homes. We don't see this as much in other countries because they employ different strategies than we do here in the United States. So while we excel here in the United States with cutting-edge technology that saves lives, we do not excel at preventing those conditions from forming in the first place. And that's where we need to put our focus moving forward. And that is what true prevention actually is. It's not getting the disease at all.
And a great explanation of what prevention really is. Now, why does conventional medicine focus only on the early diagnosis instead of the prevention end of the situation?
Well, it goes back to, you know, the previous answer. We don't learn about it. We touch on it very, you know, slightly in medical school. We learn about how the body functions. We learn about all the hormones that function and how they regulate body function. We learn about vitamins and minerals. We learn about detoxification pathways and all the things that are involved in body function. But then in residency, things change. We specifically are trained to diagnose and treat diseases. And so, you know, it's a use it or lose it principle. So once you are, you know, trained in diagnosing and treating diseases, you lose your focus on preventing those diseases because it's not emphasized. And then you carry that into your practice. And in the United States, if you want to go back and do true prevention, you have to actually go back and do extra years of study. It's not taught in medical schools extensively, and it's certainly not taught in residency programs. So it's not emphasized at all. You have to actually go back and do additional study even after you've been board certified and you're in practice. Most physicians, you know, they don't do that. Because it's not emphasized. It's not something we think of immediately. It's not something we think of at all, except by telling patients, well, you know what, you're overweight, you need to go lose some weight, or you need to stop smoking, you need to stop drinking. But we don't know how to guide our patients in achieving those strategies. It's very difficult for people to lose weight on their own, because oftentimes they don't know what they're doing wrong in the first place to cause the weight gain. You know, we tend to assume that our patients are eating too much and that they're too sedentary and that they don't have any willpower. But there's a reason they don't have any willpower. People who are tired don't have any willpower, you know, because they're tired. They're tired all the time. It's very difficult to muster the willpower to not munch because you're going to have cravings when you're tired. Your body is asking for more energy, so you're going to give it more energy in the form of calories. And that leads to weight gain. It's not a lack of will. It's a physiological response. And unfortunately, we tend to skirt over that because, again, in residency, it's not emphasized. So we tend to tell people, you know, just go out, stop eating, and go exercise and quit smoking. And we don't really know how to guide our patients because we didn't learn how. Integrative medicine is extremely different because those are the strategies that we emphasize the most. Those preventive strategies. So we give people an idea as to why they can't lose weight. You know, some people can't lose weight because their metabolism is too low. Other people can't lose weight because they have a lot of toxins in their body that are trapped in the body and the body's metabolic systems are not functioning. So you have to know which of those two things is going on in a patient in order to guide them in weight loss. So for the patient who has a low metabolism, you have to boost their metabolism, and that may mean, you know, testing them for certain vitamin and mineral deficiencies to provide those as supplementation. It may mean completely changing their diet. It may mean balancing their hormones. Everyone's extremely different, so everyone has a different path there. For the patient that has a toxic buildup, it's a different strategy. For those patients, you want to help them to remove the toxins from their systems to unblock their metabolic pathways so that it functions better and they lose weight. So there's a very specific way that each individual can successfully lose weight that is lost in our conventional medical system because that's simply not what we focus on. We focus on diagnosing a disease. So we wait for that patient maybe to develop diabetes or high blood pressure, and then we give them medication to treat those diseases, but we don't emphasize the preventive strategies that would help them lose weight successfully so that the diabetes goes away, you know, or gets prevented entirely, or so that the hypertension or the high blood pressure doesn't actually ever occur. So it's a distinct difference in the way that integrative medicine works and conventional medicine works. But the quick and dirty answer as to why we only focus on early diagnosis is that that's how we're trained, and that's what we learn in residency programs. Residency training is extremely intensive, and there's not a whole lot of time to go study anything other than what you're being taught, and you have to know it extremely well because people's lives are at stake. And so we focus on what we're taught, and then that becomes what we do. And so that's why, you know, early diagnosis is the paradigm of conventional medicine. The other reason is that the testing that we do is not preventive in nature. It's only diagnostic in nature. So in other words, the mammogram doesn't prevent breast cancer. It simply diagnoses it early. The colonoscopy doesn't prevent colon cancer. It simply diagnoses it early. So there's a drastically different. So integrative medicine, the prevention of breast cancer means balancing someone's hormones, balancing their energy, stress reduction techniques. It may mean nutritional supplementation. It may mean detoxification, all with the aim of restoring proper body function. And that's how you prevent breast cancer. So it's a sharp contrast. It's drastically different, and that's what we do. This is what we reinforce on the integrative medicine side is prevention of the actual disease by restoring body function, whereas on the conventional side, we emphasize early diagnosis because those are the tools that we use. We use mammograms, and those are standard of care. Those are what we call standard of care. Those are what the insurance companies are willing to pay for. Because it's quote-unquote standard of care, because it flows with the paradigm of conventional medicine, which is the diagnosis of disease. And so that's why we don't focus on prevention here in the United States.
Now, how is early diagnosis impacting American lives?
Well, while early diagnosis of a disease is critically important to save lives, its prevention is much more important. So we see this in the case of cancer. Although we diagnose certain cancers early, there are even more cancers that we can't diagnose early, such as ovarian cancer. Ovarian cancer is often caught in very, very late stages, and the prognosis is very, very poor for those patients. So there are certain cancers, in a very small number, in fact, that we can diagnose early, and there are many, many more that we cannot diagnose early because we haven't developed the testing, we haven't developed the understanding of how to diagnose those cancers early enough. So what happens is early diagnosis allows more and more diseases to occur because you're not treating the causes of those diseases. So when there's a cause still brewing under the surface, the body is not functioning properly, it's going to have metabolic disturbances, and those disturbances will come out in some other fashion. So you can block a symptom if you wish, with conventional medical strategies, but the underlying cause and the metabolic disturbances will still be there, and so the body will still be malfunctioning in some other way, and then that's going to allow another disease to occur later. Or it's going to cause a side effect to that medication that you use to prescribe that first disease. We see this as an expected increase in new cancer cases over the next few years. So cancer currently affects about 33% of the U.S. population. But because we're not taking effective measures to prevent it, it's expected to increase by 42%. It's expected to increase to 42% by the year 2025. So again, it's important to know that cancer prevention isn't just about stopping smoking and eating healthy. 50% of heavy smokers never get cancer. So smoking is not the only thing that we need to emphasize here. There's much more to this cancer story that we'll explore later. But the failure of, you know, the early diagnosis strategy is most significantly actually affecting our children. This current generation of children is not expected to live as long as their parents do because of the escalating increase in disease. So 50% of our children are expected to have a disease before they reach age 18. So early diagnosis simply isn't working.
Today we are with Dr. Milan Riobay, a board-certified medical doctor and specialist in traditional Chinese medicine and integrative medicine of the Riobay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Stuart, Florida, here on eHealth Radio's Cancer Prevention and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Riobay, what difference would shifting the focus to true prevention make?
The Riobay method is a TCM-based integrative medical approach that has a positive impact on the quality of life. In long term, we see reduction of diseases and more successfully treat chronic symptoms and conditions by restoring proper body function and balance. So employing effective preventive strategies would also have a significant impact on not only quality of life, longevity, end of life would be much less there would be much less pain and suffering than we see today. We watch our elderly lose independence. We watch our elderly develop dementia, have strokes, and unfortunately, many of them are incapacitated. And it's a huge economic burden as well on society. So the individual is suffering and society is suffering. employing effective preventive strategies would have a significant impact on the economy as well. In 2014, the Milken Institute revealed a study that showed that reducing the burden of disease in the United States would pump $6 trillion back into the economy by the year 2050. That's an 18% or better improvement in the economy by just shifting the burden of disease slightly. They made very conservative calculations. So $6 trillion is actually the least amount of money that they expected to pump back into the economy by the year 2050 if we would just employ more actual true preventive strategies in the United States. So the impact is just, it's huge. It's huge for the individual. It's huge for our children, because if we don't do something now to help our children to not get these age-related diseases before they hit age 18, we're going to see what's happening to our elderly today happening to younger and younger generations of people. So it's something that we really have to take to heart, and we have to make happen now. And the truth is that we have strategies available. It's not something we have to go and figure out. These things have already been mapped out in the case of Chinese medicine, over 3,000 years. In the case of integrative medicine, it's been practiced in Europe for decades. So this is not a new concept. It's simply a concept that we need to embrace here in the United States in its pure form and apply it.
Most definitely. Couldn't agree more with you there. And how can we begin to shift the focus from the current paradigm here?
Well, a TCM-based integrative medical approach, as represented by the Ryobe method, spearheads a movement that provides people with an unprecedented opportunity to make the most informed decision about their health. So knowledge is power, you know. So that's one big way to start shifting the paradigm, is for people to demand it, for people to ask for it, for people to look into it. This movement also provides a path for the medical community by allowing its incorporation into medical school and postgraduate training to have an immediate impact on the public's health. Again, none of this is new. It's been practiced for thousands of years in the case of TCM, and many other countries throughout the world are trying to incorporate Chinese medicine into their medical systems because they understand its value. And in China, in fact, you know, conventional medicine and Chinese medicine are practiced side by side and flow seamlessly together. So they're not diametrically opposed as we tend to believe here in the United States. They actually flow well together. The thing is that we have to actually understand Chinese medicine. Here in the United States, we try and twist Chinese medicine into our paradigm, and then we don't really understand it, and so then we tend to assume that it doesn't work, because when we subjected it to how we study things here in the United States, it didn't work properly. Well, that's because it wasn't employed properly, not because it doesn't actually work. Chinese medicine is an individualized treatment strategy. It's not a group strategy. So in conventional medicine, what we tend to do is we tend to get maybe 100 patients who have high blood pressure, and we give them the same medication, and then we study the effects of the medication. And then we produce scientific studies that say that, yes, this medication worked better than the placebo effect, which is a sugar pill, essentially. And then we then judge whether or not that medication is useful. You simply can't do that with Chinese medicine, because if you got 100 patients and you tried to treat their back pain, for example, each individual patient would get a different treatment strategy. We wouldn't give them the same treatment. But yet we want to study Chinese medicine that way, and then we say that it doesn't work. We have to study Chinese medicine the way it's actually practiced, which is individually. So we have to look at each individual patient and see, where did they begin and where did they end with this treatment strategy that they got based on their own individual patterns. We don't do that here in the United States. We tend to group people together to study them. And so that's why we tend to have this idea that Chinese medicine doesn't work, and that it's diametrically opposed to our conventional medical systems. So in order to have a paradigm shift, we have to actually understand Chinese medicine better, and then study it that way. And that will really help the medical community to see its legitimacy. So we don't study it very much in the United States because of these reasons. But if we go look at European studies and Chinese studies, They have studied it. They have studied it extensively. Not only has it been extensively studied, it's been time proven. This system of medicine has been around for over 3,000 years, and it hasn't even blinked. It hasn't batted an eyelash over any new scientific study that's come out over the centuries, because it seamlessly flows into Chinese medicine once you actually understand it. So that's really important for shifting the medical paradigm, is to really understand Chinese medicine, and then to incorporate it into the U.S.-based medical system. So what we would have in the end result is that conventional medicine would be used for what it excels at, which is acute, imminently life-threatening conditions, such as, you know, you have appendicitis, you know, and you're going to die unless your appendix is actually surgically removed. So conventional medicine works extremely well for that. So we save lives every day from these conditions. You're having an acute heart attack. Conventional medicine excels like no other country in the world at saving lives from heart attacks. You know, so conventional medicine is extremely valuable, and it's not that we want to do away with it, but we need to see what it works best for and have it utilized for those means. And then we need to look at the other more chronic conditions and symptoms before they become diseases, and accept the fact that conventional medicine does not work for those conditions, and employ a system of medicine such as integrative medicine with a traditional Chinese medicine focus in order to deal with those particular circumstances, symptoms before they become diseases, so that we don't get these diseases at all that we're getting more and more today. Autism is a great example. When we look at autism, we can't find references in the literature to autism before the Industrial Revolution, a couple hundred years ago, when we started using more toxic substances. We don't find references to autism more than 200 years ago. Cancer, on the other hand, you'll find references to cancer from thousands of years ago. So cancer has been around a really long time. Autism is a new disease. It's a disease of modern society. So we're actually creating diseases as we go along because of our lifestyle changes, you know, the toxins that we have in our environment, the pesticides that we're exposed to, household toxins. We're exposed to 180 cancer-causing toxins a day, and our children are exposed even before they're born to those same toxins. So this is what leads them to be more at risk for diseases such as autism. So autism is a brand new disease. It's not a disease you're going to find 500 years ago described in any literature anywhere in the world. So we're actually creating diseases. So the paradigm shift has to happen in medical school. It has to happen on a community level with people wanting to see these changes for their children and their grandchildren. And it has to happen in the medical community with us wanting to do more for our patients and for our own families. I'm a mom, and so this topic is very important to me. I don't want to leave my children with a legacy of poor health when I'm a physician. It hurts my heart. I can't do it. So I have to look at better strategies. And so the paradigm shift has to happen on multiple levels. It has to happen in the community, has to happen in the medical community, and it has to happen even in our school system. It goes very deep. It has to start even in our school system with the foods that we feed our children in public schools, you know, with the things that we teach them in school. We don't teach them strategies on how to be healthy, and we don't teach them about prevention. So it's on so many different levels that this paradigm shift has to happen. But it will happen because it's inevitable. What we're doing today is not working. And so we have an ability to make a paradigm shift. We have systems of medicine that are very, very well equipped to do so. And it's just a matter of time.
Certainly some eye-opening information here, and certainly good to focus on fixing the problem. Thanks for bringing our attention to this. Where can our listeners find out more about you, your practice, and how can they be in touch as well?
Well, I just wanted to give the listeners a little bit of information here. In 2014, the American Board of Medical Specialties formally accepted the field of integrative medicine as a medical specialty here in the United States. So this legitimized what was once considered to be a fringe system of medicine, which has already set the path to prevention. So to learn more, I invite you to visit MilenRiobeMD.com, where you can pre-order the Tao of Integrative Medicine and schedule your annual integrative checkup today.
Wonderful and great to have you back with us, Dr. Riobe, and certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio.
Looking forward to it, Eric. Thank you again.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with, once again, Dr. Milan Riobay, a board-certified medical doctor and specialist in traditional Chinese medicine and integrative medicine. She is the founder and director of the Riobay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Stuart, Florida, a progressive medical practice that uses traditional Chinese medicine with the cutting-edge technology of integrative medicine. And for more information, simply visit MilanRiobayMD.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Cancer Prevention and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.